B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Everybody's smiling, sunshine day. Everybody's laughing, sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today.
It's a sunshine day.
DoorDash!
I have no idea if that worked with the delay. How could it possibly have worked?
It didn't. But,
okay, good. Either way, Paul Perillo, Patriots.com, also known as Sunshine.com, dubbed by the great Ed Duckworth of the Providence Journal, joins us now. How you doing, Paulie Paul?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
We are just peachy. Thank you so much. I would like your opinion to weigh in on something Maz has brought up this week. Maz started off this week by saying he's done with Cam Newton. Done with Cam Newton, that he would like to see Jared Stidham in there, if not for the future, to see what you have, or just that it's got to be better than what you've seen out of Cam Newton. And Maz has basically had enough. Have you?
Yeah, I'm pretty much where Maz is, to be honest with you. And it's not so much, you know, I need to see Jared Stidham, as I've decided that what Cam Newton isn't good enough going forward. And you know, if he gives you the best chance to win in 2020, then fine. Keep playing him until you're eliminated. Or if you can win out and get to the playoffs at 10-6, you ride him. You ride the hot hand. But I'm where Maz is. I don't think that he is capable of playing at a level that you need to play to have success going forward. In my mind, 2021 should be completely off the table for Cam.
So how do you parse out his play from what surrounds him, which is, you know, really bad? They may have the worst group of pass catchers in the NFL. And this is what, you know, anyone who's defending Cam Newton, it's the first thing they say. Well, what's he surrounded by? How do you expect him to have success with that group? No one would have success with that group. How do you parse out his play from what he's surrounded by?
It's a tough one, Mike. And, you know, there's no getting around the fact that all of the weapons that we criticized last year when Tom Brady was here, you have to continue to sort of question now with Cam Newton. Now, there's a couple of ways of looking at this. You can watch a guy play and watch the way the throws come out and say, well, he's just not getting any help from his weapons. You know, like this guy can't get open. This guy can't catch the ball. That guy doesn't stretch the defense. And then you can watch sort of some of the passes come out and just see how off target, how late, how the offense lacks rhythm. And unless they're running the ball at a really high level, this offense really doesn't consistently move the chains. So there have been times where they've been able to put yards, you know, move the ball, get in position to put some points on the board, but they've been few and far between. And in my opinion, that's not just because the weapons aren't good. You're right. I mean, I can't sit here and tell you Jacoby Myers and Damir Byrd are, you know, anywhere near, you know, the way you need to be for like Pro Bowl caliber weapons. They're just not. But at the same time, I wonder how much the quarterback is hurting their development as well. And I would throw N'Keal Harry into that, too.
So let me tell you, you're right. It's so interesting how Brady may have hurt N'Keal Harry's development emotionally or off the field. Cam Newton is hurting it on the field because he can't get him the ball. But, Maz, I think you can parse out. And to me, it's a cop-out. You know, but I think when people do that, Gasper does it all the time, but I hear it all the time with Cam Newton. Well, what do you expect? Who's going to have success with this team? Well, I don't think anyone could take this team to a Super Bowl, but can you have more success than what you've had with this quarterback? That's the question. And to me, the answer is yes. And I mean, just think of it. I mean, maybe you can give me some rankings or some stats to back it up. Does Jacoby Myers drop the ball? How many drops does Jacoby Myers have this year? I don't recall him dropping the ball very often, or Damir Byrd for that matter. It feels like when those guys get their hands on it, they catch it. There was one this last game where there was a deep crosser by Myers that Newton overshot him, and he dove and he got his hands on it. He couldn't quite come up with it. That maybe was a tweener. I wouldn't call that a drop, though. But those plays are few and far between, Paul. To me, it feels like when they're open and the ball's there, they catch it.
That's how I feel, Mike. And that's why I think you can sort of separate the two. You know, are there guys that are, you know, open all over the field that he's missing? Probably not. But there are some guys that are open that he's not getting the ball to. It's definitely a combination of the two. But I think it's more weighted on the quarterback than on the receivers and the offense in general. They have holes. Listen, we've talked about the lack of depth and talent across the board on this roster all season. So I'm not putting it 100% entirely on Cam Newton, but I don't think he's doing a whole lot to make them better. And again, when they're not able to run the ball, when Damian Harris, the last couple of games, has been held under 4 yards a carry, and you're seeing what teams are doing. They're just stacking everybody at the line saying, we dare you to beat us over the top. And it's not really stopping anybody. You know, Romeo Crennel saw the deep ball to Damir Bird, and he said, yeah, great, you made a play. Let's see you do it again. And he didn't change his approach at all in the fourth quarter after that long touchdown pass. And Arizona was playing that. That was like a high school defense they played the other day. They had everybody up around the line of scrimmage daring them to throw the ball. And I think Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick are telling you what they think. When you get a game like that they're not able to run the ball, they can't move the ball, and Cam Newton only attempts 18 passes. They're telling you what they think.
And Mike, I did look it up. The Patriots as a team have the fewest drop passes in the league. Okay, they have the fewest drop passes in the league. Now, in fairness, because I think you got to point it out, they have the third fewest passes attempted in the league.
Right.
Okay, right? So they don't throw it a lot. But, you know, it's not like the receivers are dropping the balls. And I look at it simply in a vacuum, Paul. I look at it and say, how much of what Cam Newton is doing right now do I look at and attribute to, well, he'll pick up the offense, he'll get better, or does it look to me like he doesn't have command of the whole operation? And that's how I feel. Like, he can't decipher the blitz. He can't deliver the ball consistently accurate. You know, I look at all, I don't love his arm strength anymore. I look at it all and I say, I just don't think the guy can play the position for anybody anymore at a level that would put, you know, make the team a playoff contender.
Yeah, and that's going to be an interesting factor. And I wonder, you know, how much Cam, you know, we've seen Cam take these, you know, performances pretty tough. And I'm wondering if part of that is because he's internally thinking, I can't do it anymore. You know, when I used to throw that pass, it used to look a certain way, and it doesn't anymore. When I used to break containment out of the pocket and get out into the second level, I used to be able to run away from these guys, and I'm not doing that anymore. So I do wonder, Tony, if this is as much physical as anything else. And yes, we all know about the short off season. He got here late. They didn't get the amount of time on the field that they normally would in the off season as an entire team. And would it look better if he came back next year and had the whole off season? Yeah, I'm sure it would look a little bit better. But physically, I can't get past some of the things that I've seen, and I don't think those just magically disappear.
Okay, so what's your ideal plan for the Patriots, Paul? I mean, ideally, how do they manage the position? Is there a name? Is there a player? Is there a draft player that you want? You know, how do they handle it?
I don't know exactly, you know, specifics, but ideally to me is if you can get in the middle of the draft and you know, you get one of these guys that you like that you can draft or move up to get him. I don't know. They're anywhere between 4, 5, some places even 6 quarterbacks projected in the first round. Obviously, not all of those guys are going to be able to play. And obviously, Bill Belichick is not going to like all of those guys. But if there's one that he likes that he can get in position to get, that would be my dream. If he identifies a guy and he can draft him, and at the same time, figure out one of these veterans that you can bring in to maybe help him out. I just don't want to have Cam Newton be the fallback next year saying, well, we couldn't get anybody we liked, so we might as well stick with the guy we know.
Would you give up a high draft?
That to me would be a step backwards.
I agree. Would you give up a high draft pick for that bridge quarterback?
No. No. I mean, like, I think you can probably get a guy. To me, if you can draft a guy, then I don't want to give up a draft pick. You know, so that's what makes it tough is the timing of it. I don't know if I'm going to get a guy in the draft. If I could get a young guy that I feel pretty good about, and then I can go out and patch it together with, say, like a third round pick for some veteran guy that can bridge the gap. You know, I don't know if Sam Darnold is legitimately an option. I don't know. What is it going to take to get him? Will it take a first round pick? If I were the Jets, I wouldn't give him up for less than a first round pick. But, you know, they're the Jets. Sometimes they do dumb things. I wouldn't give up a first round pick for a bridge guy, though.
Okay. Is there a veteran name that you like more than others that you think might be available, a realistic guy?
Do I wade in on the Alex Smith thing? Or
yes,
do I just
exactly.
Yeah, there? Absolutely.
Yeah. Boy, you guys were hot yesterday. I started to say, this is what they do to me. Now I understand. I understand
Bedard
what it sounds like.
Either hates Alex Smith or me. One of the two.
Could be both.
I like Alex Smith. Now, I don't necessarily think he would be a great option because of his health. I mean, I don't know how much you can count on him given the state of his leg, but it's a great story right now to watch. And from all accounts, Washington is really determined to bring him back next year. He's still under contract. So I think they want to keep him and figure out what they're going to do. Maybe he sort of shepherds in, you know, their latest draft pick because they got to go out and get somebody. But it's going to be interesting. I like Alex Smith. I'm more on your side of the Alex Smith argument than Greg. For whatever, I don't know if Alex Smith snubbed Greg somewhere along the line for an interview or stood him up in one of his film sessions. But that really escalated in a hurry yesterday.
Yeah, no, it did. It got hot. But anyway, so we want your thoughts on that out there, folks. 617-779-0985. We're going to talk some Patriots with Paul Perillo. Want his thoughts on the team in general, on the fact that they are still kind of technically in the hunt, Paul. I mean, they are. And there are some winnable games on their schedule coming up. So is that worth paying attention to? Are those wins counterproductive for the Patriots? Your thoughts on Cam Newton? Can you separate his play from what surrounds him? Can you do that? Again, your calls right after these words with Paul Perillo.
Dugger Mass. Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone.
I don't care.
With the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'm just a sports talk radio host. I'm not a reporter.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's a good, very good listener, as I've documented before. He listens to coaching very well. He takes great notes. He tries to work on the areas of the game that we've addressed and tried to point out that we can make progress and improve on. And he's pretty consistent as a human being, you know, and again, I think that's part of what makes him a good leader is he comes into the building every day, he's got a positive outlook and positive frame of mind, he's got good energy, and, you know, he's been through these before, you know, he's had a day that's been great, and then he's had a day that's been less than what he was looking for, and he's been able to bounce back from those and continue to surge forward and try to continue to play good football and help us win. So the best part about Cam Newton is the only statistic he cares about is the one in the win column. So we got to try to make improvements where we can, and we will. And I know he'll work extremely hard to do that. But part of being a good leader and a good teammate is you got to try to find consistency with your approach, and he does a really good job of bringing that every day for his teammates.
All right, that's more Josh McDaniels' support of Cam Newton. Let's go to your calls here with Paul Perillo. He's joining us from Patriots.com. We got Nick in the car. Go ahead, Nick. You're up first. Go ahead, please.
Come on, guys. Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going good.
Let's say they go and get Stafford. Like there's been talks about maybe being interested in him. What do you guys think would be our number one target as far as a weapon if we do go ahead and get Stafford?
So, Paul, let me ask you that. Okay, whether it's Stafford or someone else, how do they address the receiver position? You want them drafting and drafting high. You want them getting a vet. You know, given all their problems at that position, how would you attack it if you were them?
Yeah, I would look more in free agency. And this is where the cap money comes into play. Because I do think they have an opportunity to go out and make a couple of, you know, reasonably high-priced acquisitions if they want to. And I think maybe a guy like Allen Robinson from Chicago would seem like, doesn't he kind of like strike you as just a tough, physical Patriots kind of receiver? Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the flashiest tool in the box, but just a really productive, hard-nosed guy. I like him a lot. I think there's some veteran tight ends that could be available. One of them, I think you're going to see this week in Hunter Henry with the Chargers. He's a guy I think could be available. You know, and there's, you know, the Rams in a couple of weeks. I think Gerald Everett's another one, you know, a tight end that could be, you know, someone the Patriots might show some interest in. So I think there's opportunities. I kind of like the idea of Matthew Stafford, though. If he could be, if he becomes available, I think that he has a couple of good years left in him. He might be able to sort of bridge that gap for you. I still think he can play.
Yeah, I think he's a terrific bridge option, a good quarterback anyway. If he's costing you a first-round pick, though, I think that sort of defeats the purpose. Yeah. But the wide receiver, I mean, would anyone have any faith if they went into the draft for that player or that position this year? No freaking way. Don't you feel better about, you know, Chris Godwin's another one. The guys that, you know, Bills had almost no success drafting receivers, but he has had some sort of marginal success with guys in the league, right? Whether it was Wes Welker or Randy Moss, obviously, but even guys like Brandon Lloyd and, you know, LaFell and guys like that. Yeah, we're reasonably successful. And to me, they've got to go spend money at receiver and get it in the veteran ranks because Bill can't draft it. I would almost give up if I were them. You know what I mean?
Even a guy like Chris Hogan's another one. And, you know, to me, you just went the high draft pick route last year. I think they have enough needs that I think that you should go and fill some of those, maybe an edge rusher or, you know, a good all-around sort of linebacker or even a secondary guy. If you lose Gilmore, you might be in line for, you know, a corner or one of those safety types. So I think there's a lot of different areas they could go early in the draft if they can't get a quarterback that would make more sense than a wide receiver.
Yeah, to me, look, you got to do it free agency or trade. And there's some decent ones out there. You mentioned Robinson, Juju Smith-Schuster's available. Mike, you said Godwin. I like Godwin. He's 25, I think. And to me, he's a perfect fit. That guy can play. So, and he's not a flashy receiver. He's a hard-working receiver. You know, there's a few decent names on there. But draft? No way.
No way. Enough. Give up. Acceptance is the price of freedom there. You can't draft that position, Bill. Is this person calling himself D Patriots in Brockton? D? Is this you?
Nah, it's D. It's just D.
Okay, D. What do you got?
D from Brockton. I've called a few times. I called after we lost to the Green Bay Packers the year we won the Super Bowl and stuff like that. I just wanted to touch in on the Cam Newton progression and what everybody's talking about with him getting the ball out to people and all that. My big question is, why do we allow so many excuses for big-time quarterbacks who suffer a big injury and has been out for a long time, but Cam Newton comes in from being a year off, a shoulder injury surgery, and foot surgery where you plant with and throw? As a quarterback, you need to plant and throw, right? I mean, and everybody's looking for him to be on target. The guy's reworking his foot steps, his mechanics and everything. His mechanics look ugly, I'm not going to lie. His mechanics look ugly, but I don't think we're going to see the Cam Newton that we want to see this year. And I don't think he's going to be here next year, and I don't think he's the answer. So to sit here and criticize him when a lot of people, I think, get a lot of excuses for having a big-time injury and being off for a long time, it's kind of, you know, okay, it's kind of asinine.
All right, well, listen. I think Cam Newton gets a lot of excuse-making for him, given the weapons. I don't know, who's he throwing to? Who could have success with this offense? I hear a lot of people defending Cam Newton on that. So I think Cam Newton gets his share of defense. He hasn't gotten a lot of defense for the injury thing, should he? Should he, Paul and Maz?
Well, I talked about the physical. You know, like, that to me is what is striking to me, is I don't think physically he's the same guy. But maybe where I separate from D is I'm not sure he will be the same guy. I think he's an old 31. I didn't necessarily buy that whole thought process in the offseason, but based on what I've seen, I've changed my mind on that. He looks like a guy who's taken a lot of hits and has slowed down a little bit, and he's having trouble physically. I do think that's part of it, absolutely.
Yeah, and so look, the part that I would add is he's clearly not the same guy. I just don't think it's coming back.
Yeah, me
so,
too.
Yeah, D can look at it and say, well, you know, he needs more time. I think he's cooked. I think it's over for Cam Newton. And again, I don't necessarily blame – I don't know how many times I've said this. I don't necessarily blame him for the way this has gone. I blame them. They're the ones that put themselves in this position. Cam Newton's trying his hardest.
Right.
And again, off the field, I think he's been a model for them. I think he's been a terrific teammate. I love a lot of what he's brought. I just – when those reports came out, and I don't remember, we played the audio. Dare I say it was Doug Gottlieb who said that people around the NFL believe that Cam Newton's shoulder is shot. I think they were right. I think he's cooked.
Well, and how much time would he need, right? He suffered the last big injury, the foot injury, in the preseason of last year. It was here, right?
Yeah, when it was against the Pats. Yeah.
So it was August of 2019, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it was August of 2019, and then that shoulder injury was when? It's a year, 2018. We're about to hit 2021. If he's not right physically yet, he's not going to be. So, I mean, I don't know how much time you want to give him on that. Here's Ivan in New Hampshire on the Patriots. Go ahead, Ivan.
Hey, guys. Boy, I thought Bedard was going to have kittens yesterday after I called and mentioned Alex Smith. I just wanted to elaborate on that a little bit because the game that I watched him play, I mean, that guy was nails. He was hitting his targets all over the field, both short, intermediate passes. And the fact that he had that really bad injury, I would think that he'd probably be open to maybe coming to a team with some really good coaching, and maybe Washington would take some lower draft picks.
Okay, but I don't even know what Alex Smith's contract situation is. I don't think he's going to cost you anything, and I think he would go anywhere that gave him a starting job. So I don't think you have to sell Alex Smith on anything. We're spending too much time on Alex Smith because, I've spent more time on Alex Smith in the last 2 days than I have my entire life. I'm not a huge
specific guy isn't important, right?
Right. To me, it's Alex Smith represents Joe Average. Just get me a representative, functional NFL quarterback that can run your offense, take care of the ball, be good enough that if the guys are open and the plays are there, he's going to make them. Not going to crap himself in big situations and just be that guy. And so I think Alex Smith can represent that guy. But I'm sure there's others, too. He ain't the only one. We've got an update here from Big Jim Murray. We've got more with Paul Prillo and Tony Maserati here on Felger and Maz. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Maz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Maz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, Paul Prillo, Patriots.com, is joining us. This doesn't happen very often on Felger and Maz. Maybe the only time in my memory. But we're going up against an NFL football game right now. Every now and then, right, there's a 5 o'clock Monday night game or something like that. But, have a Wednesday 3:40 NFL game opposite Felger and Maz. Not what we're used to. And I don't know if you've watched any of it, guys, or if you've had an eye on it. I have. It is freaking fugly. What an atrocious game this has been. If you haven't, watched or paid attention, just in the first quarter alone, I think there were 4 turnovers, missed extra point. The games, it's RG3, in for Baltimore. He fumbles a snap on the first or second possession. Pittsburgh takes over deep in Baltimore territory. Roethlisberger immediately throws an interception in the end zone on just the worst ball you'll ever see. Baltimore gets a reprieve, gets the ball back. RG3 then immediately throws a pick six. So now they're down, and then Pittsburgh misses the extra point. Now they're down 6-0. Baltimore gets the ball back, goes nowhere, punts it away. Pittsburgh fumbles the punt. Baltimore goes in for a touchdown. There's been missed passes, dropped balls, missed extra points. Again, I think 4 turnovers, maybe more. This thing is a train wreck.
Yeah, you were right about the – I'm sorry, Maz. It was 4 4 turnovers in that first quarter alone, and every time I've looked up, too, it also looks like there's a lineman on the ground grabbing his ankle. The whole thing's been a disaster.
So, Paul, what are your thoughts on how the NFL has handled this, the whole COVID situation, and, specifically this last week?
It's almost like they're not used to playing on Wednesday afternoons. I think you guys probably have talked a lot about it this week. The situation with Baltimore was obviously pretty unique. They just continued to test positive day after day after day, and they couldn't play the game until they finally put a stop to the positive tests. But at the same time, the situation with Denver, I thought was really, really unfair. What they made them do. I thought that was an easy fix with guys having to self-isolate because they were in contact. It wasn't like they were getting constant positives. That's why they made them play. And they said, we don't care if it's all one position and it's the quarterback position. I thought they could have delayed that game by 24, maybe 48 hours and easily had a quarterback available. And, you know, just you look at the competitive balance and the things that the NFL always tells you that are really important to them, competitive balance and parity and whatnot. The Broncos had the same chance to make the playoffs going into this week as the Patriots did. They needed to win all their games. And they were really stripped away of a chance to win the first one because, I'm sorry, you're not going to beat anybody in the NFL with a wildcat wide receiver playing 100% of the time. You're just not going to win a game doing that.
See, I don't have a huge problem with the way this thing has gone, and this is why. It's an unusual year. And so, Paul, all the things you're saying I think are right. It is unfair. But so is 2020. Everything about 2020 is unfair. And yep. I never liked the idea from the beginning of postponing games, having them pile up. I always felt all along this is why you expand rosters. And so play. And is it going to look ugly at times? Yep. Is it going to be stupid at times because the team doesn't have a quarterback? Yep. And you just have to accept that that's what it is. So I'm not telling you that I like it. I'm just telling you that I think if you want to play the season and you want to play it in a reasonably timely fashion, that you're going to have this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's fair. Absolutely.
All right, back to your calls here, as promised, with Paul Perillo. Jim's on Cape Cod. He joins us next on Felger and Mazz. Hi, Jim.
Hey, I just have a quick question for you guys, and then I'll hang up. And that is, why is it this Patriots team, I'm not really just saying Cam Newton, but the team, they're up to the top of competition and down to the worst competition? That's my question.
Okay, Paul, do you think there's something to that, that they haven't blown out the bad teams and they've actually, you know, outside of one game, the San Francisco game here, they've been competitive in just about all of them. So does that say anything to you?
Yeah, I think all the games have been pretty similar. I don't necessarily think they're playing up or down. Now, the Baltimore game, I think, was probably their best performance because I think – the Ravens have a lot of talent. Now, I know that they've had a lot of struggles, and, you know, this is a game they're going to be hard-pressed to win today. They're going to be 6-5. The Patriots have a lot of wins over 6-5 teams is basically what they do. I think Miami is 7-4. That's the best win I think they have. You know, like, I think there's a lot of teams that are kind of similar in the league. You know, there's 6-5s, 5-6, and I just think that this is the way the league is set up. The Jets and the Jaguars are the two worst teams. I would say the Chiefs and the Steelers are the two best, and there's a lot in between.
Got Brody in Maine on the Pats. Hi, Brody.
Yeah, hey, guys. You know, before I weigh in on the Pats, just real quick want to say I was listening to the podcast this morning, and I heard, you know, Chad Finn saying, you know, you can't criticize Danny Ainge and don't listen to sports radio. I mean, he comes across as a real sycophant, and it makes me ask the question, like, if you can't listen to sports radio and talk on sports radio about sports, who the hell are you supposed to listen to? Like, you know, sanctimonious DBs like that guy, or, you know, with all due respect, Paul, you know, guys that work for the team. I mean, it just kind of pissed me off. But, you know, I guess I just wanted to say, you know, I really think the Pats are trying to make a push to get Jimmy G back. He can make all those short passes. Their offense is really centered around. And I wanted to ask Big Jim, are you ready to welcome back Jimmy Fragile?
Am I ready to welcome him back? No. But I can accept him because he at least is more proficient in the passing game than Cam Newton will be here. So, I mean, as the stopgap guy, I can live with it. I can.
Okay, that guy might have been my favorite caller ever.
Well, that he got some movement out of Big Jim Murray, which is nice to see. And, you know, there are some Celtics fans that just don't like it when you criticize Danny Ainge. And there's Patriots fans that feel the same way or used to anyway about Bill Belichick. And I don't get that guy. Like, it's fun to second guess your general manager. Like, that's I don't know. To me, that's the crux of being a fan. You like the move, you don't like the move. You praise the ones that work, you criticize the ones that don't, and you go from there. And if you don't want, you know, the healthy debate or the critical commentary of your guy, it's just like, you're no fun. That's, I don't know. That's the fun stuff to me. Speaking of the GM, here's Steve in the car on Belichick, the GM. What do you got, Steve?
Oh, my thoughts, just a quick idea. I wanted to get an educational opinion on it. But I was thinking, because Belichick is not going to step away from the Patriots unless he retires. So if you push him to general manager, even though he sucks at it, push him to general manager, have the offensive coordinator be the head coach, bring back the Lions coach that just got fired, let him teach his son, because you know his son got the job. They never called anybody the defensive coordinator until his son got there, because Belichick was always that. So he could teach his son, and then after seeing that game, they're about to quit on Carson Wentz. Is that a terrible idea to bring him in? Because his contract is up. They're looking at the young guy. I'll listen.
So, I'd say, Steve, you just gave me too much. Carson Wentz is the bridge quarterback. Does that even make sense? Would he even be available? Would you? How do you feel about that?
His contract is not up.
Yeah, I was just reading about this behind the ESPN paywall the other day. It's like almost impossible for them to cut him this year. They would be better off hanging on to him, even if he gets worse for 2021. That you could trade for him, but there's no way they would cut him.
See, meanwhile, $60 million hit if you trade him. 60. Oh, wow. I'm with you on the cap, Mike.
Yep.
But that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, there are limits. So every once in a while, there is a situation where it is actually a cap. You know, every once in a while, maybe that might be one of them. But meanwhile, so wait a minute.
I just want to clean up a couple of quick things. Steve Belichick is not officially the defensive coordinator either. That the caller sort of indicated, oh, and all of a sudden Bill decided to name a defensive coordinator because it's his son. That's not true. And I also don't like the idea of Bill being the GM and not the coach.
Thank you.
I like the coach better.
Yeah, that's where I was going. Can we flip that? You know, like, why would you take Bill as a coach who's still pretty good and maybe the greatest of all time, take him out of that and have him do the thing that he's not nearly as good at? His GM record is fine. It's good. He's had some great years and some really bad ones, but it's sort of back and forth. He's more like everybody else as a GM than he is as a coach. He's special as a coach and, you know, just okay as a GM, pretty good as a GM. But why would you? No. If there's any way to flip it, just let him coach some other GM's picks. That's what you would want. What's the thing that you... You said Steve Belichick's not the official defensive coordinator. Do you have any thoughts on Bill praising Steve Belichick for some of those defensive calls in the second half of that game on Sunday? Yeah. Maz pointed this out earlier this week as well.
Yeah, a lot of people were talking about that, and we had a discussion here about it. I mean, I think he was sort of coming off the Houston game. I think they really struggled defensively, and maybe did he do it specifically because it was son? I don't know. Maybe he's trying to pump him up a little bit. But I think the bigger thing here at play is coming off that really tough performance in Houston. I thought they made some selective, really, really good plays. They won the game with the goal line play, the 3rd-and-2 stop. And I think he was just sort of coming off a tough outing in Houston. I think he was pointing that out. But did he do it specifically because it was his son? Maybe.
Okay. We've got a segment to go here with Paul Perillo. I want his thoughts on this week's games. We will talk to him before the Rams game. So I want his thoughts on the Chargers. Also about a positional shift that a lot of people have started to talk about on the Patriots roster as well. That comes your way next in our long commercial-free segment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You can listen to Felger and Maz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I think Nikhil's done some things, certainly some positive things that have helped us, during the course of the games that he's played. And I think like most young players, who've had to miss time, throughout the early part of their careers, he's got plenty of things that he can improve on and that he needs to improve on. The name of the game for young guys is to learn, how to play and how to do their job at this level and then to be able to be consistently dependable doing it against good competition under pressure, is the next step for guys in this league. And Nikhil works extremely hard at practice. And he has to continue to try to do that, and we have to continue to try to coach the things that we need to improve and make better as we move forward, you know, the rest of the season that we have left.
I guess I would say some tepid support of N'Keal Harry. Paul Perillo, your thoughts on this player? Are you done with N'Keal Harry?
Yeah, I mean, he's still, you know, really young, so it's hard to say done. But you guys remember back to even training camp last year, and I wasn't overly impressed right from the start. So he hasn't really done anything to change my mind. I think he still has trouble separating. I think everything he's involved with sort of looks difficult to me. Even when the passes are complete, they look like they're really difficult in order to execute. So I'm not willing to completely give up on it yet. I'd like to see it with a little bit more conventional, you know, here's the quarterback, here's the offseason, let's get everything in place. But it's hard to dispute anything Josh McDaniels said right there. I mean, he needs to improve on a lot of things.
Well, so, Paul, two things. One, Jacoby Myers and N'Keal Harry are largely in the same boat, although Harry had an injury at the beginning of last year. Myers has developed. I mean, he's improved. Right.
Yep.
So I just don't think. Yeah, I just don't think it's there. I think the kid's a bust, frankly. And my question to you, though, is that something that we talked about yesterday with Greg Bedard and also with or I heard Zolak say now on a number of occasions, the idea of moving him to tight end. Is that at all realistic?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's an option, but I'm not really sure exactly how it really helps. He's having to, in my mind, he has a hard time getting open, you know, when he's being covered. So we're going to move him to tight end. And I guess the thought process is you increase that matchup. He's going against maybe some undersized safeties or whatnot. Well, if he becomes a tight end, you know, let's say he's, you know, sort of more of a pass catcher. Then if he starts having some success, aren't defenses going to change the way they cover him and cover him the way they cover him now? And you know, I just don't know exactly what you get out of that. And I also think he'd have to bulk up significantly to be able to hold the line as a legitimate blocking threat at tight end. I think as a wide receiver, he has shown the ability at times to be, you know, pretty physical in the run game, especially on the edges when they get him in motion. I don't know how he would be as an inline blocker at tight end. I'm willing to try because, you know, it's hard to just pull the plug on a first round pick 2 years in. So I'm willing to give it a shot, but I'm not necessarily as enthused about it as other people seem to be.
Okay, so Paul, when you say, what do you get out of it? My answer to that would be, well, you get a guy who defenses actually have to account for. Even if he's not the best receiver on the field, at least if you get him in a mismatch situation and he can beat linebackers and safeties, then they have to look at him and say, well, now we have to actually cover him with someone you know, that adds value to us on the defense. I just don't think he gives him anything right now. I don't think defenses really have to account for him at all.
Well, don't you think they cover him?
Yeah, but when I say that, Paul, I mean, I don't think you have to cover him with anybody who's particularly good.
Well, so what would change if he's a tight end?
Because I think you have to commit someone to him that is a little bit better than he is now.
Well, you don't think he has a fighting chance against linebackers?
I think the same guy that covers him now covers him as a tight end is what I'm
really?
Saying.
Well, no, it doesn't get corners. Well, because when you're inside, you get linebackers and safeties, and when you're outside, you get a corner.
But if he ends up having success inside against linebackers and safeties, just put a corner on him.
Okay, but then now you're
how many tight ends really get the corner, Paul? There's only like a handful.
I agree, Michael. I agree. I just don't think that he has the ability to win these matchups. So I think you could put a linebacker and safeties on him and probably still be okay, to be honest with you. Okay, I don't think he runs away from anybody. And if he's going to bulk up, he's not going to get faster. He's going to get slower.
Okay. So N'Keal Harry sucks and blows at tight end, too. That's fair. I mean, who could argue? Guy's got big problems. All right, Paul, give me 60 seconds on the Chargers, please.
Chargers are like the Houston Texans, right? You know, terrible record. I think they do some things well. Maybe they should be a little bit better than that record. The difference is the quarterback doesn't have anywhere near the experience that Deshaun Watson does. And I'm not sure he has the capability of going in and ripping you apart and beating him by himself the way Watson did. I do think this game will be tough, though. I think the Chargers have been competitive in virtually every game, and Anthony Lynn finds a way to blow it at the end. I mean, they have four losses when they've blown a two-score lead in the second half. So We all know what the Patriots look like if they're down by two scores. That's not necessarily a formula for success. This might be one that could be a little bit of a, you know, I don't want to say a trap, because there are no trap games when you're 5-6, but this could be a difficult contest. I think that the Chargers special teams are awful and the Patriots special teams were huge last week. That could be a difference.
Paul, have you moved at all on the path?
The path is the same as it's always been. They have to win out. If they win out, you're going to make me look bad.
So you think it's a crock just like I do then, Paul?
Well, I don't think they're going to win out, no.
Yeah. So 9-7.
I don't think – we had the big argument a few weeks ago about 50-something percent if they go 9-7, and I just kept saying, I don't think they can make the playoffs at 9-7. I still believe that. I don't think they're a lock at 10-6, but at 9-7, I think it'd be awfully, awfully tough.
Yeah, I reran the numbers, Paul. I reran the numbers. They would need a heck of a lot of help and a few upsets, not just a few, you know.
Right.
Some pretty sizable things to happen for them to make it at 9-7. I'm not saying impossible, but it doesn't look good. I was hoping on a few more things to break my way over the last couple of weeks. They didn't happen. So 10-6 is what it looks like right now, and I don't love their chances on that. Either way, Paul.
You got your room over Arizona, though, Mike.
No, I got a few of them. You know, Denver knocked off Miami a couple weeks ago, helped.
Yep.
Yeah, so like a few things have come in, but I needed more than that. I didn't quite get everything I needed. Anyway, Paul, thanks for coming on. We'll catch you next Wednesday.
See you, Paulie.
All right, sounds good, boys.
Okay, Paul Perillo, catch him on Patriots.com. All of their programming and all their web content, Paul featured prominently. We will come back with your calls in the final hour. Also, reset our Celtics thoughts. Maz has a pretty strong commentary on Gordon Hayward's decision to go to the Charlotte Hornets. We redubbed the Bobcats. They're really the Bobcats. So Maz has a problem with Hayward going to the Bobcats, and I have a problem with the Celtics. So we'll reset those thoughts with your calls at 617-779-0985 after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.